It's 10 a.m. on Tuesday, November 8th. Oh, shoot. Neil, can you lead us in the pledge?
Yes.
Thanks.
Please stand and repeat the Pledge of Allegiance with me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, on for informational items. We're going to do here, Kent. You going to come up? Chanel Flores is going to address us.
Good morning, commissioners. So this is an informational update regarding our agreement between the Utah Department of Workforce Services and the Davis County for the Emergency Rental Assistance 2 program. Which was approved originally in the commission meeting on July 22, 2022. It was later discovered that the final contract that was sent by DWS for signatures and that was signed into agreement included an additional attachment, attachment B, data transmission. There were no other further changes made with this contract and no action is required. We just wanted to set the record straight and make sure we had adequately reported our records correctly.
And you are good at this. Thank you so much. We are all about that department having great records. Good job.
Thank you. We'll now move on to public comment. Anybody from the public would like to come forward, state their name, and you have 3 minutes.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Rhonda Perks. I'm here from Congressman Stewart's office. I'd like to introduce our intern today. His name
Hello,
is
intern.
Tate Warren. He's from Weber State University.
First name?
Tate. Yeah, so he's here to observe today, and he told me the last time he was here, he was a Boy Scout, so.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so we're here today. The last month has been quiet in Washington, D.C., particularly for the House, who has been not in Washington during the month of October for the most part, because every House race happens in even years. So every single House race is campaigning. So we've on the official side has been pretty quiet, but there are some large bills that we're working on. Hopefully, as we come back next week into work session in Washington, I'll be able to tell you a little bit about those in the upcoming weeks. But the congressman's been doing some visits, visiting a lot of places here in Davis County, small businesses, big businesses, defense businesses, and as always, wanted me to express his thanks for support. And hopefully next week I can come back and say that I still have a job. So, thank you.
Yes, that's a thing. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda. Okay, we'll now move on to our clerk auditor. For want to open a public hearing first, or you want to go through budget? All right, I'll look for a motion to open a public hearing.
So moved.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Curtis Koch.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration today under a resolution and budget opening several items. In Fund 10, under corrections, an increase of expenditures for equipment repair contracts related to the 24/7 SCRAM program. You have an offsetting revenue source for that for $86,000 as well in jail fees. In animal care, under miscellaneous grants, we had an unanticipated grant revenue of $4,800 with an offsetting increase of expense of operating supplies for $4,800. In non-departmental, you have a transfer out from our non-departmental fund, which holds the bulk or access to the bulk of the fund balance for Fund 10. This is a true-up of commissary funds to ensure that there is not a negative fund balance at year-end. We ran into a negative fund balance last year when we made a transfer to unclaimed property at the year-end. And so we just want to make sure that we don't have that same issue this year in our audit. Under vehicle maintenance, last year's budget, it was requested that department take a $10,000 expense reduction. They took that, but the expense reduction remained in, and it was just discovered. And so we are removing that expense reduction, recognizing that they reduced their budget during last year's budget process. This was just an error or an oversight. In non-departmental, we have a transfer in of $627,697. This is the remaining, or this is part of the remaining fund balance from Fund 14, our paramedic fund. With the transfer of paramedic services to cities and districts, the remaining fund balance is being moved to back into the fund, Fund 10. This is equitable to those that were receiving part of the paramedic funds, because for the last 2 years, the county has contributed $3 million in funds from the general fund and through fund balances. And so $627,000 seems reasonable to move back into our general fund to help offset that $3 million expense. Fund 14, you see the transfer out of the $627,697 in expenditures going into Fund 10. It should be noted that over the next 5 years, we will continue to make small adjustments. This will be the largest one, but as delinquent properties, delinquent property taxes are paid, we will still receive revenue into Fund 14. And so at the end of 5 years, we would anticipate closing out Fund 14. But you'll see these small transfers. This is the first and largest that I would anticipate that you'll see. In Fund 18, tourism, we have additional revenue being recognized of $44,175. This is from the sale of the North Covering Covered Riding Arena at the Legacy Event Center as we go into that renovation. We have some offsetting expenditures as well in $17,000 in buildings and grounds maintenance and $27,000 in buildings and grounds maintenance. There were some unanticipated demolition costs also associated with the Legacy Event Center, and so you have an offset of some revenue and offset of expense to the revenue just reported. We also have an increase of wages and benefits to convert a part-time position to a full-time position. You have payroll of $9,142, payroll taxes of $699, workers' compensation of $158, medical of $9,213, and retirement of $2,913. In Fund 24, Public Works, we have an increase of expenditure for expenses related to ESI engineering for the West Davis corridor. We also have a offsetting revenue of $565,000. That reimbursement is from UDOT and is over a period of time, and so that's why the expense and revenue does not match up, but that those expenses flowed over multiple years. In Fund 42, debt service construction, a couple months ago we issued bonds. This is just recognizing in the debt service construction the bond proceeds or the revenue of $47,835, as well as bond premium of $2,165,000. To move the construction forward this year, we need to increase expenditures of $1 million for construction and $100,000 for architectural services. In Fund 46, health capital projects, we are moving forward with the expansion of the parking lot project and need to budget $100,000 to move that project forward for the remainder of this year. We would anticipate that construction will go through next year as well. And last, in Fund 52, Inmate Services, you see the transfer in of that $75,000, the true-up of commissary fund to ensure that there is no negative balance that I spoke of earlier. And so, Commissioners, on this budget opening, you have a total revenue increase of $51,402,672, with a total expenditure increase of $2,369,623. A net increase of $49,033,049. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
And then I couldn't hear the answer. The second page that we have, is that?
There is no second page. It just had the signature that was cut off. So that is all of the transactions.
I'll open up to public comment. Anybody would like to come forward and talk about the budget opening can do so at this time. Seeing none, I'll look for a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I'll look for a motion to approve the budget.
All right.
Opening. Item number one.
Yes. I move approval of item number one, which is the additional budget appropriation requests.
All right, I have a motion and I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Move on to business and action items. Animal Care Director Ashley Young.
Hi, Commissioners. Thank you. Animal Care of Davis County is continuing to work on our emergency management plan. This is another memorandum of understanding with backyard dog care and boarding for preparation and response to disasters in Davis County at all levels. This MOU begins October 25th, 2022, and would go through October 25th of 2023.
Where is this located, Ashley? I'm curious.
This one's North Salt Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a relatively new boarding facility in the area. We've done a couple low-cost vaccine clinics out at their facility, and now they're willing to help us in case of disaster, which is pretty great.
Thank you. I move approval of number one.
Second.
The memorandum of understanding as described.
And I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll move on down to community and economic development. Item number two, the person that's presenting is on his way. So community and economic development director, Kent Anderson.
Morning, Commission. I have some items for your consideration today. Items 3 through 6 are very consistent. They're all properties along Shepherd Creek in Farmington. These were requests from these property owners to acquire some of the property in their backyard. Public Works has reviewed these and actually made some amendments to the original requests, but we are retaining easements for flood access in these properties. Item number 3 is an acceptance of the real estate purchase agreement with Christopher C. Howick and Elizabeth B. Howick for surplus real property obtained by Davis County and known as part tax ID number 08042-00833, terms receivable in the amount of $8,332.50. Item number 4 is an acceptance of the real estate purchase agreement with Jeffrey D. Johnson and Cheryl L. Johnson, Family Revocable Trust, dated 23rd day of July 2007 for surplus real property obtained by Davis County, known as part of tax ID number 08042-00833, terms receivable in the amount of $6,467.50. Item number 5 is an acceptance of a real estate purchase agreement with Douglas Aird McDonald and Vicki Lindsay McDonald for surplus real property obtained by Davis County and known as part of tax ID number 08042-0083, terms receivable in the amount of $7,000. Item number 6 is an acceptance of a real estate purchase agreement with Suzanne Coons Martell Living Trust dated the 6th day of January 2012 for surplus real property obtained by Davis County known as part of tax ID number 08042-0083, terms receivable in the amount of $5,787.50.
And are these all in a similar area to one another?
They're all their backyards.
Yeah.
Along Shepherd Creek.
Okay.
So there's 4 properties. One expressed interest and then the other 3 did as well.
Yes, right along that Shepherd Creek. Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking. Thank you.
You bet. Item number 7 is a little bit unique. We don't bring a lot of subdivisions to the commission. This is coming from a Mutton Hollow Township Planning Commission who met on November 2nd and voted in favor of forwarding approval of the final plat for the Vailey Villa Subdivision First Amendment. You had a staff report there, and we do have one recommended change to the staff recommendations on the second page, item number 2, it says an improvement agreement will need to be signed, securing future curb, gutter, sidewalk, and street improvements. So the commission's aware you have the authority to either put together an improvement agreement, which is something that in the future we may request that you come forward and do this improvement. But as we've continued to talk about improvements in the unincorporated county, I think it's important that they continue to bear the full cost at the time of subdivision. So staff's recommending to change that to require the installation of sidewalk on 50 East prior to receiving certificate of occupancy. Currently, there is sidewalk and all these other improvements existing except for that sidewalk on 50 East. So let's just go ahead and get that in place. Item number 8 is an approval of the Community Development Block Grant subrecipient agreement with Woods Cross City to fund a home rehabilitation project. Terms payable in the amount of $75,000 beginning 10-1-2022 to 9-30-2023. Then item number 9 is an approval of a contract with Great Basin Fiber Arts Fair for fabric and textile classes, demonstration, and trade show. Terms receivable amount of $3,448.31 beginning 4-27-2023 to 4-29-2023.
Very good. I move approval of items 3 through 9 as presented.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Kent. Thank you. We'll move back around, though. We're going to go to the commission office. Chief Deputy David Cole.
So he's actually from the attorney's office.
I mean, sorry. Hey, David, you can be a commissioner. That's all right. Come on over.
He got promoted and demoted at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think he's in a better position where he's at.
I'm David Cole. I work for the county attorney's office. I'm here to discuss the ordinance that the staff has suggested to the commission. We've asked for this ordinance for two reasons. First, at the local level, elected officials, particularly in this county, are essentially job interviews. These are on the ground things, commissioners, the auditor, the attorney. These are people who do every day, all day work for the county, and we want the best possible people in those particular positions. And so we want to make sure that when there are needs for salaries to match what is happening out in the private sector, that a person can come and do public service and at the same time be compensated fairly and they'll be willing to run. Second thing is, as a practical matter, we want to increase the transparency for some of the salaries that have been in the past handled informally. Since I joined the county in 1995, the commission has sort of consistently received informal requests for salary increases for public officials whose salaries have fallen below those of their deputies or other people who work for them. The commission has considered each of those in the budget process in the past. We're, as the staff, are suggesting this ordinance, which will require that it have a formal request and that there be a public meeting noticed for that particular request so that the official who is receiving the pay raise and has asked for it has an opportunity to explain in public why they think that that makes sense. This is an opt-in process. It's not automatic. It wouldn't happen, would not change anything today. There aren't any current requests pending. In the future, any requests would be noticed for a public meeting and conversation. This was a request from the staff. It did not come from any of the elected officials. We think it increases the transparency, and it also, frankly, transfers to the elected official the responsibility to explain why their salary is where it is. And I'd ask the committee to vote for it, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Well, that was a great explanation. Thank you for that. And of course, it was on the agenda last week, and commission office received a call from a reporter, Standard Examiner, and it was recommended that that go to David Cole. So there was actually a news story on this last week, which anyone can go look that up. And it was, I think, quite factually written and did service to the proposed ordinance. We also tabled it so that we could have one more discussion with elected officials all together in the room. And we had that.
Yeah, we had a work session.
Mm-hmm. We had the open and public work session and great feedback. Great feedback from other elected officials. And so that was helpful to the commission. Thank you for taking the time to come and have that meeting with us. And with all of that input, including from human resources, I feel good about it and I move approval of the ordinance.
And I will second that and just refer back to those meeting minutes from last week in our work session. For those out there in the public that would like a little more information about this, it puts the burden a little bit more on the other elected officials as they are elected from the county, from citizens. And it's not the commission's, you know, yes, we do salaries and we adjust salaries, but it does put the burden on to the elected official if they want a salary increase and they have to justify that and they want to justify that to the public. So I will second that. And so I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, we'll move down now to facilities. Director Lane Rose.
Good morning, Commission. Lane Rose, Facilities Director. Got a pretty significant contract in front of you today. You heard in the budget opening. First, I want to give a thanks to our purchasing department working through some issues during this, and our legal team. Neil, if you'll thank Mike. I know we put tons of hours into this. This has been months in the process, so, and rightfully so. This is a large contract. We're excited to present to you today. This is with Layton Construction Company, LLC. This is for the construction manager, general contractor agreement for our event center redevelopment construction project. This is payable in the amount of $50 million, which is the fixed limit construction cost. Terms are beginning today, 11-8-2022, ending 12-31 of 2024.
I like the way you said the meaning of the acronym, because I don't think I even knew. Fixed limit construction cost is what FLCC, so that means it not to exceed, right?
Yep, correct. And we'll later, when the bids come in, we'll sign a GMP, a guaranteed maximum price for the project. So,
yeah, fantastic, Lane. Thank you. There's so much work that's gone into this from all the departments, right? Even attorneys and everyone, Curtis's office, so much work. Wow, I can't believe that we're really to this point. This was being discussed before Commissioner Stevenson and I came into office, what to do and how
with,
to do it.
With this signing of the contract, they're able to get a contract with the steel building manufacturer, and we'll place an order for steel. So that will show up.
The steel will show up in 3 to 4 months.
Once we get it ordered.
Oh, my goodness sakes. How long can things take, right? Anyway, but so exciting. We're getting closer.
Still a lot of process. We're still in design, so.
Right. It's true. Process. We're getting it all right, huh? Well, thank you so much for that. Lots of work. Lots of public meetings on this, honestly, over the last several years. Lots of public meetings. So very exciting. I move approval of number 10 as presented by our director, Lane Rose.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Right. On Information Systems, Director Mark Langston. Mark.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Mark Langston. I'm with the Information Systems Department. As we prepare for a new year, we're reviewing our fees as requested. And so what you have before you is an update of the ordinance, section 2.48.140, the fees of Davis County for a department. And we are making two small adjustments. We are asking to increase a fee from $20 to $100 for delinquent parcel records. The reason we're doing that is because that is what the recorders and treasurer's office are charging for that same report. We're just matching the cost. The other item we're asking to change is entering item D on item number 3. We actually provide data through Google Drive now as well. So those are the two small changes we're asking for in the code.
Great, and I think from the state, everyone has been asked to look at their fees, right, and yes. Go all through it. So it never hurts to go all the way through things. Yeah, I think so. Very good. Thank you so much, Mark. I move approval of 11.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Library Director Joss Johnson.
And yes, he is not able to be here today, but so we have Matt Goff, Deputy Director.
Matt. Thanks, Commissioners. Yeah, as stated, Josh is under the weather today, so I will present items 12 and 13, and then Ellen Peterson, who is also a deputy director, will present 14. Item 11, or 12, whichever one this is.
12.
Thank you.
That's a good question.
12 is the donation of $400 from a private citizen by the name of Noel Peace to purchase a plaque and tree for the Bountiful Branch Library. And that is in memorial of a person by the name of Eric Donovan.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to pause for a second because that's just really neat, right? We don't see things like that all the time. So someone is doing it in memory of another person and just reached out because they appreciate our libraries?
Avid reader. It says he was a voracious reader and prolific writer whose love of books was evident to all who knew him. So
now I know what can be done when I go on to the next life. I want a tree in all of the libraries. I will let that be known to my family. We love trees and we love libraries. Oh, that's so cool. So thank you. And we would like to make sure that we send a thank you. If you can make sure that we get an address where we can send that to from the commission office, we would love to send something to Noel Peace. So it's receivable in the amount of $400. I have recently priced, looking at having to replace a tree that's on its way out, I'm afraid. So yeah, it's not a small little amount. It's substantial, $400. And this is beginning October 31st of 2022.
Are we placing the tree in a place that it won't ever get torn up?
Well, we've discussed things with facilities, and we're going to put it in an area where if it needs to be moved, it can be.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Also, just because, who knows if I'll think of doing this afterward, but maples don't do so well here when they mature. They get iron chlorosis. Take a look at a Zelkova. I don't know if the person has an opinion on what they would like, but there's trees I've never heard of that actually do really, really well here, including in drought conditions. So, yeah. So you've got 13 as well?
Yes. So 13, just like what Mark had presented for IS, we are presenting an updated section 2.4. 8.100, the fees of the Davis County Library. And going through them, most of them remain the same. There are a few exceptions, and I'll just briefly touch on those. The first two deal with our interlibrary loan. In times past, we charged $1 per item for an interlibrary loan, but now we are not charging to receive the ILL. It would be just if the person who had decided they didn't pick it up or didn't get it, they'd be charged $3 per item. And then let's see, the other one is the we during the past year we've introduced equipment that checks out from the library, specifically from the Clearfield Library, and we've received more equipment in these telescopes that we've talked about in past commission meetings, and we are charging a service fee for those that are lost of $50 to replace the equipment.
Yeah, and I remember discussing this in the library board meeting. Did you say that currently we're doing the $1 per item for an interlibrary loan, but now it's going to go to $3, or if they don't pick it up? Oh.
We were, and then we updated that. So now there's no charge to get an interlibrary loan.
Okay.
There's only a charge if you don't pick it up.
Only the charge if you don't pick it up. Yeah, fantastic. I move approve. Well, so we do Ellen. Yeah, thank you so much, Matt.
Thanks, commissioners. So this one is an agreement with ProQuest for their database Heritage Quest, which is a genealogy database. It's one of two that we carry with the library. It's a three-year contract, so we will be paying annually, but the total amount for all 3 years is $14,945.74. And this begins October 1st, 2022, and ends September 30th, 2025.
Great, thank you so much. I move approval of all of those library items, 12, 13, and 14.
I second that, all in favor.
Aye.
Aye. From the Sheriff's Office, Chief Deputy Susan Poulsen hiding behind Mark Langston. I was the sheriff here for a minute, and I was like, is she back there? Oh yeah, she's back there. She's hiding.
I'm hiding, I'm here. Good morning, commissioners. Item number 15 is a donation agreement with Animal Park Marketplace for the donation of dog food for our sheriff's canines. That's a receivable in the amount of $2,782.33 in goods, and that begins 12/31 of 2022.
And Susan, that's another one. Just to pause, this is not chunk change, right? I mean, this is a significant investment and donation. And I don't know, is it this person wanna, or this entity wanna remain private?
I think it's Animal Park Marketplace is the entity.
Oh, it's the name of it, okay.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and we are just so grateful for community businesses and personal members of our community who see the value in those canines and the service they provide and help out by providing donations like this that help us carry
$3,000 worth of dog food all at once?
Yeah, actually it is. We pack it in a place where, you know, mice won't get it and keep it up.
Cool, hopefully.
Yeah, so, and then they just come in and take a bag as they run out, so it works great.
They're located in our county, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yep, so wonderful. Once again, if you can send name and address, some sort of contact to the commission office, we will absolutely send a letter of gratitude. Yeah.
Item number 16 is a release of liability waiver of rights and participation agreement for secure continuous remote alcohol monitoring, or the SCRAM program. This is receivable in varied amounts based on tests, use, and monitoring fees, begins on final signature, and runs until the participant is no longer under court order to participate in the program. And item number 17 is the ordinance updating section 2.48.080 fees of the Davis County Sheriff's Office. I don't have a list of those fees. I apologize.
Yeah, I was going to ask, but then I thought it's probably pretty detailed. Huh?
Yeah.
That's totally fine. We and all the public can go in and look at that. Thank you so much, Susan. I move approval of 15, 16, and 17 as presented.
Second. All in favor? Aye. From the Treasurer's Office, Treasurer Mark Alton.
Mark Altum, Treasurer. I just mentioned to Sheriff Sparks. Deputy Paulson.
Not quite. She could have, though.
Anyway, before you is item number 17, which would put into ordinance our ability to charge a fee for return checks and returned ACH transactions when people pay us for property taxes, and those payments either, well, they're returned and unpaid to us, like returned for insufficient funds or other reasons. So we just think it would make sense for us to have the ability to do this, because it does create a lot of extra work for us to have to go in and find out which account, you know, which property tax account the check was paid on in the first place, and then we have to go in and we have to reverse that, and then we have to send a letter, and so it just creates a lot of extra work, and so we'd just like to codify that with our fees.
Well, and banks do it to all of us as individuals, right?
And I was going to mention the one section of this does show that we use a collection agency for some of the general accounts, not the collector account, but we use for a lot of the accounts, health department, other departments like the recorder or something like that. If those checks bounce, then we have a contract currently with Bonneville Collection, and they will collect them for that, but the fees that they charge are set by statute, and so that's why that provision is in there that will refer to that fee on those that type of check is covered in this ordinance, because it refers to the statutory reference for what those fees are as set by the legislature.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that explanation. Anything? You covered it? You good? Okay, I think so too. I move approval, on my agenda it says number 18, of the ordinance updating the fees of the Davis County Treasurer's Office.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah, I figured. Thank you so much. I was just preempting any confusion for the minute people.
All right, we'll move on to our November 8th Indigent Hardship Abatement Register. We held a hearing last week on what date was that? November 3rd, we hold the hearing, and so the following approvals and denials will be on that, and so I move approval. Which we held the hearing. They've all been here.
Were these all ones that were approved?
And denied.
And denied.
And so...
just approving the abatement register.
That we, whatever it was from the meeting. Yeah, very good. I was thinking that would be tricky for us all to remember which ones were which. Yeah, no, I will second the approval of the decisions that were held in the other meeting.
And I, and all in favor?
Aye. Very good. Thank you. I move approval of the regular commission meeting minutes, which are October 11th of 2022 and October 25th of 2022.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I move that we recess to our Board of Equalization duties.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Curtis.
Commissioners, you have for your consideration today under your property tax register, under auditor adjustments, under appeals, you have a report with various appeals recommending a approval of those appeals, a total of $1,355,385. Under, you also have another report with a recommended no change in value with various properties with that recommendation. Under the third report under appeals, you have a hearing findings report with various reports, a total of $140,809. Under abatements, you have a report with various late abatements recommended for approval of $19,019.26. And then you have a report with various abatements recommended that they be denied. Under your corrections, we have a variety of corrections this week. We have an item purchased by an exempt entity for year 2022 with Woods Cross for $4,906.81. You have a veteran tax exemption abatement for the year 2021. You have three items that have an exempt entity with immediate occupancy in 2022, or excuse me, in 2021. And you have a abatement of taxes due to low income and a computation error from 2021. Total of all those corrections is $7,704.84. Under treasurer adjustments, you have a small balance write-off of a negative $3.84 for various properties listed on that report. And under assessor adjustments, you have assessor-initiated corrections from various properties for a negative $9,880,148. And that is your property tax register for November 8th, 2022.
Thanks, Curtis. I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. I move we reconvene commission meeting.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Neil, Curtis, any comments?
No comment.
Just encourage people to vote if they haven't already. We have, as of this morning, about a 44% turnout. We've seen consistent traffic at our ballot drop boxes. I would encourage people to use their ballots. I also want to make folks aware that election results may be a little delayed this evening. The Lieutenant Governor's office is asking that we delay results until we can verify that all polling locations are closed. We don't know how that will impact us. We usually like to have our results out by 8:15, but we don't know how other counties how fast or how quick they'll be able to go through lines. And so we'll watch that.
That's statewide, not just the county.
Statewide?
They're asking statewide. We're talking with them. We may be able to release some local elections that are just specific to the county, but we're working with them. There was a press release last night, and there's been several news articles, so maybe a little slower than normal, but we hope that's not the case. We hope that there aren't long lines anywhere in the state of Utah, that people use their fast pass, in that they've received a ballot. Vast majority of folks received a ballot 3 weeks ago, and we hope that folks will use that walk and drop. But of course, if they choose to go into a polling location, they can do that as well.
Yeah, and they can walk and drop them up until 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Yes, polls close and drop boxes lock at 8 o'clock, and if you show up at 8:01, you can try and put it in that drop box, but it will not go in, and if you jam it in, it still won't go in. And if you leave it jammed in the side, it will not be counted. So just FYI.
Have you had a little bit of experience?
Just okay. Talking for a friend.
On that note, this is a wonderful day. This is one of the great things about the United States of America, right? Yes.
I apologize. I've got to go and do a media.
I bet you do.
item right now, so I apologize. I need to be excused.
Yeah, you are excused. And, of course, our county has held town halls regularly for a long time so people can come and see. This county has been letting people come and see how it works preceding when I became a commissioner. So way back before 2020, people could come and watch and get all their questions answered. I'm only just going to say something very briefly because we haven't received very many things in the commission office from folks who are wondering and concerned, but I think I've seen three people write in to us, and they have all the same letter. It's the same that they've all written. And so for the first one that I was able to reply to, I just want to have this on the record. Dear constituent, I am completely confident about the security and accuracy of elections in Davis County, Utah. I was the commissioner who got to watch the long pretest recently. I've watched and learned about our process for years, including before I became a Davis County commissioner, as all of our citizens may. The clerk auditor team has held monthly town hall meetings over the last year for all the public and officials who have interest to see and learn. We've had legislators come and watch and get all their questions answered. There has been very positive media coverage as well. Apparently it's still going on. Thanks for writing in, Lorene Kamalu. So it's a wonderful day and so proud of our team here at Davis County.
Very good. Get out and vote. Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.